The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clip Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clip.
Hi, people. Welcome back. I was supposed to have a guest today, but she ended up in the emergency room instead, and she'll be fine. But so instead of what I planned to do today, I'm going to answer an email from a listener who is planning on building their home and has a lot of questions. Here's the email. Hi, Steve. My wife and I are long-term listeners to your Winning the Dream Home podcast. This is our first time emailing you. We live on the south shore of Long Island and are currently in the discovery portion of our dream home build, gathering must-haves and would like to haves, research and architects, etc. We love your podcast. I'd like to hear this. And I've been listening to it religiously. And we'd like to ask your opinion, suggestions regarding what type of construction methods are the most optimal for our area in terms of build quality and cost effectiveness. A little background first. We made the decision about a year ago to build our home after seeing many new construction houses and not being able to walk away from a single one of them without thoughts of changing something about the house. And I'll stop here and say that I did a show, a couple of shows on stock plans, and most of the speculative built homes that you see come from these stock plans. If you listen to my show, any stock plan is a compromise. It is someone's guess as to what is the middle of the market and how can they satisfy the most people at the same time. And the flip side of that is that I also talked about how, for the most part, they're done by, not the top architects, often done by residential designers, glorified draftsmen. And really, so it's not surprising that you would find deficiencies in most any stock plan spec house that you look at. Now, he goes on, the initial conversations with brokers and builders and our research have opened their eyes to the fact that building your own home is not necessarily a more expensive proposition than buying new construction. And, he says, with our own build, we don't have to settle for other people's design choices, and we're only limited by our imagination and, of course, by the budget. So whenever I talk to someone, a potential new client, one thing we do look at is the pluses and minuses of buying something existing or buying a spec house versus building your own. The real amazing difference that I see is that I think you can build your own custom home for the same price as the spec house and get more of everything. When you look at a spec house, the real plus of it is that when you look at a spec house and you take 100% of the construction of the sales price, 45% of that sales price is the materials and labor that go into the house. The remainder, 20 to 25% is the land. And then you've got the builder's profit, and you've got the realtor's commission. And in the spec house, on top of those two, you have the profit or the margin for the speculative venture, which means a builder or an investor who builds a spec house wants to receive 15% for their trouble, or for their risk in doing this venture. So that means that on the spec house, only 45% of the sales price is the materials and labor. On a custom home, you don't have the speculative fee, the 15% or so. Actually, they shoot for 20% return. If the house sits around for a long time, that number goes down. But you don't have the 15 to 20% fee for doing the speculation. And oftentimes you don't have the realtor's fee on the construction. You still pay a realtor's fee on the purchase of the lot, or the seller does. But it means that 65% of the total cost of a custom home is materials and labor, versus 45% on the spec house. That's not as big a spread as it sounds, although it sounds as though it's, 40% more being spent on materials and labor. Because on the spec house, the builder has pushed everything down to the lowest dollar. They're getting, every one of their subs to work for the best possible price. So they will get the framing done, for instance, for 20% less than what you would on the custom home. They will get the roofing done for 20% less. And as you can imagine, and especially if it's a production situation where they're knocking off 10 houses very similar to each other in the same neighborhood, they'll have the quantities of scale, which you won't have on the custom home. But you do get with the custom home a bit better attention to detail, the chance for the home to, really be designed for you and fit your life. And usually you get upgraded materials. You tend to upgrade some things. The other thing you tend to do in the spec house, they look to cut every $100 that they can, which means that if you look at a spec house, on the side walls, there are very few windows. Everywhere they can cut $100 is cut. On the custom home, you tend not to do that, and you get a few more windows. You get a couple more nice details. The big thing you get, too, is that on the spec home, if something isn't quite right, no one's looking over the builder's shoulder at that point. And the answer is just go on. If the wall isn't quite plumb, just go on. If the tile work isn't quite perfect, just go on. In the custom home, you've got, two parties looking at it as it's being constructed. One is the owner, and who may or may not, know what is quality because of how much knowledge they have of construction. and the other is the architect. A lot of what I've done is urging people to use architects for what their value is. And one of the biggest values of the architect is having that knowledgeable third party looking over the builder's shoulder. So having an architect to monitor the construction is a very valuable thing. Anyway, yes, you can build a custom home for the same price as the spec house if you realistically say, I want the same amount of things in the house as the spec house, and you don't get carried away with extras. But definitely, you can get the same thing, and you can feel good that you paid, you know, that $10,000 went into nicer floors instead of the realtor's commission on the construction. Now, let's back to this letter. Okay, fast forward to the present. This is the letter. We're overwhelmed with the many available residential construction methods. That's not something that has been addressed in your podcasts, Drew. For example, there's the basic stick home construction with bat-blown insulation. There are SIPs, structural insulated panels, wide cavity, cement, and we've recently discovered ICF. Given the recent history of hurricanes and inclement weather in our area, this is, they're writing from Long Island, and the northern eastern U.S. as a whole, we're very conscious of the build quality of our future home. From what I've read, ICF can withstand even the worst of storms. We love the solidity that concrete lends to a home. The dual layer of polystyrene insulation provides a nice insulation envelope, and the wall thickness, up to 1.5 foot thick, creates nice deep window wells, not to mention contributes to very nice sound dampening properties as compared to a standard stick frame home. From what we've read, there seem to be other advantages versus stick construction, like faster build time, air tightness, tremendous energy efficiency, and improved overall comfort. Okay. There are, really, when I think about it, there are four types. Well, let me run through some types of construction for single-family residences today. The one we're all familiar with is the wood frame home, the stick built. And most of our houses are built this way. You know, probably 95% of the houses are built this way. Stick built is cost effective because relative to the rest of the world, we have a lot of wood in the United States. It is a fast growing renewable resource. In fact, there are more trees today growing than there were 100 years ago in this country. And it's a renewable thing. The actual growing of trees, they talk about carbon, you know, and that the issue with global warming is that the carbon levels in our oceans and in our atmosphere are going up. Well, trees are natural carbon collectors. That's what they do, is they collect carbon and turn it into wood. So building your home out of wood is really very, it does have a good ecological component to it, even though it seems archaic. But the stick build is cost effective because everyone knows how to build with it. And you can get a lot of skilled labor. Skilled carpenters are, you know, relatively inexpensive because there's so many of them. And the stick-built house today this year, 2012, is very different than the one from a couple of years ago, even a couple of years ago. They've done a lot of testing and a lot of research, and they've developed new methodologies of stick frame construction. They're doing things like California corners that really don't allow for gaps and pockets of, you know, non-insulated areas in the stick built. The codes have really, really improved. The code that just came in place in North Carolina in 2012, and probably everywhere, including New York. The stick frame that we see today is, you know, twice as energy efficient as what we saw 5 to 10 years ago. Then you look at how they insulate them. And the stick frame home can be insulated very well if you pay attention to detail. Even probably the most shaky of those is the old-fashioned fiberglass bat insulation, because it has the most opportunity to be poorly installed and therefore leave gaps. Most of the insulation today is a blown-in product. It's rock wool, it's recycled newspaper, but it's blown into the walls and completely fills all of the gaps and all of the holes. And you can get a very tight, effective insulation with the stick frame. More so today, you can get to do foam insulation. And the isocyane foam, either open cell or closed cell, is extremely effective working with the stick frame to insulate the house. It's a little more costly than using the fiberglass or the standard insulation. And even the standard, you can do to such a degree of attention that you end up with a very tight, very insulated home. So that's the wood frame, stick built. Still very good. If you compare dollars to dollars, most people would still go with the stick frame because of the labor issues and because it's the most adaptable later on. Stick frame is real easy to modify, and some of the others are not nearly so. Let me run through the others very quickly. The SIPS panels are a version of this, structural insulated panels, and that is where you get a 4x8 sheet of plywood, basically. Glued to that is a 4-inch thick styrofoam polyiso insulation board, and sometimes in another plywood or OSB board to the other side to create a structural panel that's already pre-insulated. The real value with these is in panelized construction. It's possible today that once you have your foundation completed, all of the panels, all of the walls of your house can be built in the factory using, and essentially this is the SIPS panels, and all the walls built in the factory, insulated, even in the factory you can run the channels for wiring in the walls. Then they come out to the job site, and it comes out flat on this big truck, and all they have to do is stand up the walls, screw them all together, and you have your basic framed house. It takes 2 days on the job site to put the walls together and get the house up, and now you're putting the roof on. So that's another value When we come back from break, I'll get to the ICF panels, the ICF. But the structural panels, the type construction, is viable if you've got a good source for the panels. Again, the big problem with it is that you can't change it in the field. They come to you, they're finished, they're complete. That's what you're stuck with. So when back from break, we'll talk about ICF.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk. Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipart@yahoo.com. That's clipparch@yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Insulated concrete forms, ICF. How do you describe them? Think of giant Legos. These are 2-inch thick styrofoam slabs. Typically, they're about 8 inches tall or 12 inches tall, 24 inches long. And so 2-inch thick styrofoam slabs, polystyrene, separated with a rigid plastic web or trusses with a space in between them that ranges between 4 inches and 12 inches. But the idea that you'd pour concrete in that space in between the two styrofoam walls. So now you have these blocks of styrofoam. And just like Legos, they've got little nubs on them that, you know, stick up, and the top block fits in over the bottom one on those nubs. So it's really easy to build with relatively low-skilled labor. Even cutting them, you're cutting styrofoam. So it's really, you know, very easy to build. And it can have a quirky, fun quality to it in putting them together. So you take these blocks of styrofoam and you build them up to create the outside walls of the house. They're separated, as I said, by a 4-inch void in between, and 4 inches, 6 inches, 8 inches, 12 inches. As you're building stacking up the blocks. You're placing horizontal steel rebar in that void in seats, the rigid plastic trusses in there contain seats where the rebar goes, and it's real easy, you know, and close to idiot-proof to stack it all up and get it ready to, you know, to receive concrete. So you stack it up, and it's got this rebar in there. Then when you're ready and you've finished one floor level, you pour concrete in the middle of the forms. It's an insulated concrete form. And you pour concrete in there. The concrete hardens. And what you have are walls that are styrofoam, yes. But in reality, you've got a solid concrete wall for your home. And it acts in many ways like a solid giant beam. So very structurally sound, very, very strong. And of course that depends on how much concrete you poured in there. Typically, if you're doing one story, you used a 4-inch void. If you're doing two stories, you used a 6-inch, and three stories, you used the 8-inch. So if you're doing a basement, and then the two-story house above, the basement walls would be 12 inches thick with 8 inches of poured concrete in them. Very strong, as you can imagine. The next floor up would be 6 inches of poured concrete, and the floor above that, 4 inches of poured concrete. And the real... Then what you do is, on the outside of that, you have to, because what you have is exposed polystyrene insulation, your house looks at this point like a giant cooler. You have to cover it on both the inside and outside because this is a flammable material. So it has to be covered. And it's very easy to put brick or stucco, something directly to the outside of the house. If you're doing, for the most part, if you're doing a shingle style or a horizontal board, you'd actually, I think, put an outside board covering that gives you a better nailing surface. They have built in at 6 inches on center a rib, this hard plastic rib that you can screw to. But for the most part, I'd feel more comfortable if you put a solid, if you're doing shingles or shakes or horizontal board, a solid OSB board on the outside to nail to. If you're doing a stucco on the outside, I'd put up a Durarock, an exterior grade cement board to the outside, and then put up the stucco. Minus that, on the outside, you really get into the same issues that you did with the synthetic stucco, which is that you're putting up stucco, a relatively soft material, to styrofoam, a very soft material. And it'd make it easy to damage. On the inside of the house, you're gluing and screwing gypsum board directly to the inside of the styrofoam for your inside walls. So it's a different type of construction. And you have to plan it ahead where you're going to put floors, where you're going to need tie-ins for floors or any sort of anything that's hung on the wall has to be planned ahead and anchors set into the concrete before it's poured. The minus of it is that in truth, you've got a solid concrete wall. If you want to make changes later on, they're hard to do. And they involve concrete saws and, you know, just you want to plan it up front and then you can't, don't change it. The minus, I think, you know, in this letter, he talks about all the really good properties of it. The thickness, you know, he says it provides a nice insulation envelope because, in fact, on the outside, there's a continuous 2-inch polystyrene insulation barrier, which gives you a real R10, a true R10 insulation barrier out there. The wood wall with a R19, the wood wall, sorry, with an R13 insulation in it, only gives you a real R7, including the wood, including gaps, whatever. So this is an effective R10 insulation. The styrofoam on the inside face doesn't have nearly as much value because you've actually, in the course of running electrical and plumbing and things, you've punched a lot of holes in it. So it will have gaps and, you know, that don't make as effective of insulation. So, but it is nice tight. However, you can get a nice tight home in a number of ways. It creates nice deep window wells, as you'd suggested. The walls are thick. And that's really neat. I mean, that's a cool effect. And I can see valuing that. It says it contributes to a very effective sound dampening. True. In an ICF home with good windows, you won't hear anything outside. It's very good, very sound for that. And as we've said, it's very strong. So, frankly, so is the wood house nowadays. If I were in a tornado, I'd rather be in the ICF home. If I were in a hurricane, the ICF home will survive better. If you get hit directly, properly built, any home today should survive a hurricane with only face damage. If the real issue, actually, and the real issue with a hurricane is water. And we could probably, that's a whole nother topic, is how to make your house so that you don't have water damage from hurricanes, rising tides. If we expect, you know, the first answer actually on that is, if you expect the ocean levels to rise by 3 feet in the next century, which they may or may not do, some predictions are 3 feet, some predictions are 5 inches. And even the storm that we just had, Sandy, well, that barely beat the storm back in the 1820s. And it barely broke the record of the storm surge of the storm back in the 1820s in New York. So there always have been these crazy events. And however, the best way to fight against the crazy event is to not build in low areas. If you're building on the waterfront, don't build down on the ground. Build 10 feet up in the air. Build your house so that not only can it flood to the 100-year floodplain, but it can flood you a couple feet above that, and you're fine. If you know, that's the most effective way of dealing with that sort of situation, if you're concerned about it. And frankly, 100 times out of 100, I'd rather build on top of a hill. I'm not so worried about, especially while I'm 200 miles in from the coast, I'm worried about the local flood. And the 1,000-year local flood, if I'm sitting on top of the hill, still doesn't bother me. If I'm sitting down at the bottom of the hill, yeah, tomorrow's rain could bother me if I did my house wrong. So that's the best way to look at that. Well, then ICF is, it's a good way of construction. I mean, it's a very effective way. First, you have to deal with the fact that a lot of the tradespeople don't understand it as well. So you're going to pay a slight premium for doing ICF. The plumber will want some more money. The electrician will want some more money. Even like the framers, I found that I put in an ICF outside wall. I've done a few of them. And I get no credit from the framer on his labor cost because he says, you know, that's nice, but it takes me just as much time to deal with that as if I built wood outside walls. So you don't get the same so it costs a little more money, and primarily, unless you find someone who's really used to doing it, who's done a number of them, their subs have done a number of them, and they're comfortable. The one thing I will tell you is that to the extent possible, you want to keep all of your electrical and especially your plumbing out of the ICF walls. As much as possible, have all of that come up on the inside walls that are wood-framed, and leave the outside ICF walls alone. Especially if you're up in New York, if you get below freezing for substantial periods of time, it's possible that the outside insulation barrier can be breached by the cold. Now the cold touches that concrete. The concrete is a great conductor of cold. So any cold air or cold that gets into the house, and I know cold doesn't really, heat that escapes. Once it gets to the concrete will help it, the heat escape. Now, if on the inside wall of the ICF, you've carved out the foam to put in your plumbing, and you, because you overdo things, you carved out the foam completely for the shaft to run, say, the water line. That water line is exposed to concrete. If the concrete gets below freezing, so will the water line. So for the most part, you want to keep all the plumbing lines to the outside. And looks like we're going to go to another break. So ICF works. ICF gives you a beautiful, strong home. I have a conceptual issue with it in that it's plastic. It's on some level, I know there's concrete in there, but really you're living in a cooler, you know, a styrofoam cooler. And I'm not sure I want a plastic house, so I haven't lived in one, but that's just a conceptual thing that strikes me wrong about it. And when we come back from break, I'll tell you about an alternative construction, AAC block, autoclaved aerated concrete, that is a viable alternative, and at least here in North Carolina, I prefer the ICF. Up in New York, you may prefer the ICF because it gets colder. You may be more exposed, and the incredible strength of the concrete matters. Let me come back from break.
the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipparch@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Well, before we go on to AAC, one of Mike's further questions or statements, he says, however, I'm most concerned with the airtightness aspect of an ICF-built home. If the home is as airtight as I've read, you'll need to plan a fairly complex air recirculation system, or where would the moisture inside the house go? Well, first, when you look at ICF or any of these alternative construction methods to stick frame, what you're talking about today is totally different than what you were talking about 5 years ago. Today, you can make the stick frame house as tight as the ICF. You can make it, you know, not as strong, but stronger than it needs to be, except for a direct hit from something. So any home today is going to be incredibly tight. And with any home today, there is a real issue with indoor air quality. As it refers to ICF construction, one of the issues that they have found is that this concrete that you poured in between, you know, two styrofoam walls is concrete has a lot of water in it. And during the curing process, normally over the 3 days, most of that water evaporates out. It dissipates. Because this concrete is poured in between styrofoam walls, it doesn't have the opportunity to dissipate or cure out within a couple of days. In fact, it will take several months for it to substantially dry out, and it will not totally dry out for a couple of years. What that means, first, they claim that makes the concrete 25% stronger. That's great. It's already strong enough. What they suggest is that as soon as you've got the house sealed up, before you put any of the gypsum board or anything on the interior is that you put humidifiers, dehumidifiers in there, and you try and pull as much moisture out of the air as possible before you start adding things to the inside of the house. And it might even be that you shut the house up with its windows and doors closed and try and dehumidify it for a week as strongly as possible before you put down hardwood floors, before you put down things on the inside that absorb moisture, because the concrete in the walls is giving out moisture for months. However, they do treat the styrofoam is treated with antifungal conditioner so that you don't have mold buildup from this moisture. The long-term thing is that any house, you have to, if you build it really tight, then on your heating and air conditioning system, you have to have an air-to-air heat exchanger that allows you to actually actively take outdoor air into the house and exchange it with the indoor air. This is just to protect yourself from all of the indoor contaminants who on a super sealed house can't get out. Okay, AAC block. This is autoclaved aerated concrete. If you think of concrete and they're casting it into a concrete block, in this case, they're solid. There are no gaps or voids. Solid. And what they do is they aerate the concrete. They inject a bunch of air into it and puff it up. Think of a Cheeto where you take, you know, this cheese dough. You puff it up with air. Well, that's what they do with the concrete. So they puff it up. So it has a whole bunch of air captured in it, little tiny voids. And then they autoclave it. They bake it to create a solid block. And this stuff is really neat. It is, if you imagine, an 8-inch thick solid concrete block. They're a little bit bigger than normal because they're so lightweight. This concrete is so lightweight that it floats. If you toss it in the water, it will float. The whole thing is an 8-inch thick block will give you the equivalent of an R30 wood frame wall. And a house built out of AAC concrete blocks, they're really super easy to pick up because they weigh like 8 pounds per block. And you build the walls by just simply stacking them up and with a concrete. But the concrete is almost like a super glue. Very, very thin. And so you stack up the balls, the blocks, and you glue them together to build the walls. And that's your house. You put a finish on the outside, and you put a finish on the inside. This technology originated in Europe, and when you go to Germany, for instance, the majority of the houses are built with this. It's almost like the old-fashioned stone, house built out of stone. Only the stone is super insulated and really easy to work with in the field. If you have inexperienced people who don't know how to do it, it scares them. People who know how to do it, it's easier than laying concrete block. And so you build up the house out of these 8-inch or 12-inch widths of super aerated concrete, put in the door and window openings, and this is your house. I've done several of them. They're great for doing French country houses, Tuscan villas, anything that when they were built 200 years ago actually had a stone wall. Works for this. And you can change it in the field. You can take a knife or a file and carve this block. It's really soft. You can carve it. You cut it with a handsaw. So it's super easy to work with in the field. It is, and it gives you these walls that do everything that the ICF walls do, in that they are super insulating with and tight. They are super sound insulating. You don't hear anything from the outside. The difference between the two is I've heard this described as the most green building material out there. It's just concrete with a bunch of air. And it's, well, super easy to work with. So conceptually, though, you've got a concrete or a stone house rather than with the ICF, which is conceptually a styrofoam house with a super strong, you know, concrete core. And that's why I like it better, is that it does that. It's real easy to renovate or to make changes in the field. The outside, typically with these, quite often here I'm doing a French country or a Tuscan and home. The outside, you just stucco right to the face of it. You don't need any backing or anything. It is the backing. On the inside of the house, you can glue gypsum board right to the face, or you can, you know, plaster the inside and get the real rich old country feel, you know, this deep, thick, luminous richness of real plaster. And it's relatively inexpensive because this AAC block makes a great backing for it. And that's your wall. Just AAC block, something on the outside, something on the inside. Super easy to cut, to put in electrical lines or plumbing lines. You can just, boy, take a dull knife and slice it. So it's the AAC block, autoclaved aerated concrete, very big in Europe. Is probably my preferred alternative construction method. And it depends on the type of house you're going for. Just like on the AAC, just like on the ICF, as much as possible, you put any plumbing lines on the inside walls, you put any electrical on the inside walls. Actually, the electrical is super easy to run in the AAC block. And I think the feel of the house is more genuine. The feel is more straightforward, wholesome. And anyway, I really like the AAC. Now, the one other question that Mike had, he sent me a further email, and what he basically said is that as they've walked around, they've looked at the new homes and new homes of the same, close to each other, of the same price range, same size, you know, they should be very comparable, that he saw a lot of varying build quality, the impression of one house versus the other. And, you know, and what does that mean? Every contractor does their job a bit differently and has their strengths and weaknesses. If you're going around and you're looking at houses and you're trying to decide, you know, is this house well built or not well built? You know, all contractors are people and every house is individually built, which means the attention to detail on house A with contractor A may be different than the attention to detail with house B on contractor B. From a structural standpoint, there may be no difference between the two. You know, that's all inspected by inspectors. However, you've got one guy, one contractor, and he's creating widgets. He's creating product. So there isn't that much attention to detail because he's putting product in place. And it only has to be perfect enough to go on to the next step. The other guy is a craftsman, and you'll see little details or suggestions that this house was crafted, and things were done right because that's the way you do them. Anyway, show's over. Mike, I hope I answered some of your questions. And other people, please send me emails and ask me questions, and I will try to help you as much as I can. Thank you, and talk to you next week.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.